Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Rose.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Here we are, recording another episode of Punk Brats, but it seems like a while that we've done this, huh? I haven't seen you in a while.
It has been. I mean, life kind of got in the way. So we're getting around to doing this now, which I'm excited about because it's October. Yeah. And I love October because it's kind of like the free holiday. Like once Halloween kicks in, then it's like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I don't know.
I'm looking forward to the cooler weather.
Yeah, me too.
And yes, Halloween is Rose's favorite because when you go to her house, as she has said in past episodes, it's Halloween all year round at your house.
Right.
With the decor and all. But anyway, yeah, so it's the month of October, as Rose said, and we just recently said goodbye to a friend who came out to visit us from Germany, a childhood friend from our high school days, Rudy Schmitz and his wife, Sue and Melissa. Shout out to them. Had a great visit. Wasn't it cool, mm-hmm. Rose, to see them? And our kids are, like you said, older than we were when we met and hung out with each other. So,
right. Well, which is, again, kind of weird.
But again, military life. I mean, look how long we've stayed in touch with them, mm-hmm. you know, all these mm-hmm. years. Exactly. And he's not even a military brat. He's a German local who
exactly
just hung out with us American kids. So anyway, what else is happening?
The Yankees are doing great. And the reason I am bringing up the Yankees is because Lisa is an anomaly. She, which is not typical for most people, but it is typical for military brats, is that she has sports teams from all different parts of the country that she likes. So she's a Dallas Cowboys fan and she's also a New York Yankees fan.
Yes.
And the reason I bring that up is because, in season one, episode 3 of Punk Brats, where we met Sage Scott, we had a call from a listener who asked us how we pick our sports teams. And I thought that mm-hmm. was such a good question. And then with the Yankees doing so well and, you know, Dallas not doing so well, it was kind of cool. And I thought, oh, Lisa, we should talk about this. So anyway,
let's not talk about how bad the Cowboys are doing. But yes, the Yankees are on top and I am a huge fan of the Yankees. So all rise for Aaron Judge, please. Thank you. But hey, we got some sad news in the brat world. We lost one.
Yeah. U.S. Air Force brat and Army veteran Chris Christopherson. He passed away recently and, I didn't know he was a veteran. I didn't know that he was a brat because he narrated and some of his songs were featured in Donna Musel's film, Brats, Our Journey Home. And we interviewed Donna in season 2, episode 2. So it's really weird how like some of the news coming out, like kind of goes back to, so we can segue back to our past episodes. But anyway, that was really sad. And
yeah, I was very heartbroken about that. I didn't know he was a veteran also until I watched that documentary. And not just being a veteran, but he comes from a whole line of veteran family members. But anyway, rest in peace, Chris Christopherson. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to talk with him. But if you'd like to take a listen to Chris Christopherson, I would highly recommend checking out Donna Musel's film Life as a Brat.
And also I have a really cool did you know this month.
What's that?
Did you know that there is a traveling footlocker full of objects and photos donated by military brats, and it's managed by the Museum of the American Military Family and Learning Center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And what's really cool about that, well, there's several things that's really cool about this. Operation Foot Locker grew out of a discussion in 1996 on an AOL chat room. And they were discussing whether there should be a monument erected to honor military brats and, you know, basically our role inside military culture. But someone said that the idea of a monument in stone somewhere contradicted our nomadic life, which makes sense because that would be ironic.
Oh, yeah, right.
But a footlocker that travels around and never stops for long could like travel from group of brats to group of brats. And it would be like, you know, an occasion for brats to come together and swap stories, celebrate, and pay different ways to pay tribute to our troops. So you can actually book this footlocker if you have an event.
It's cool.
Anybody can
do it.
So
we can actually, we can just, the punk brats can ask to have the footlocker sent to us and they would do that?
Uh-huh. And then we can add stuff to it. So if you want more information or if you want to book the footlocker for your reunion or like if you have some sort of event, you can visit operationfootlocker.com. I'm really curious. I don't know. I may just want to have an event just so that I can get the footlocker.
I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I am so excited about our upcoming guest, Mark Smith. I have been like every time I open up Instagram or Facebook or something, you know, the social media, I would see like this freaking eagle coming down, flying and catching this fish out of the water. And then I'm like, man, one turned into two reels, turned into three. Next thing you know, I'm like mesmerized and stuck on this dude's page, this Instagram page. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm just curious. Is he a brat? And then what do you know? I was so excited when I found out Mark Smith was a Navy brat and how cool that he accepted to talk with the punk brats. And have you checked out his stuff?
Oh my gosh. Have I checked it out? It's a time stealer.
That's what I mean.
I'm swiping. Next thing you know, an hour has passed and I'm like, what am I doing? It's because it's mesmerizing, you know? I mean, it's nature and it's just how he captures the spirit of the animal. I know I'm sounding like, I don't know, like all hippie-esque or whatever, but just, you really can feel it, you know, like there's something that you can
Guess what?
Feel.
Guess who else can feel it? The fish with those talons embedded in their body.
I'm glad I'm not a fish, right?
Right. That's his brand. Glad I'm not a fish.
I know. That's my reference.
I mean, some of them are just gruesome, like when they pierce them in the eye and all that, but you know, hey, circle of life. Mm-hmm. So, but beautiful, beautiful work. And I'm just so excited to learn how he got on this journey of becoming a videographer and photographer. So, coming up is Mark Smith. So excited to talk with him, but you mentioned that this is the month of October. It's freaking me out because we're already almost done with 2024. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not right.
Well, you remember mom used to always tell us that the days are long, but the years are short.
Mm.
And it's so true.
I get that now.
Mm-hmm. I never used to understand that, but I totally get it now. But I get excited. October is like, I get excited. Like I've already started driving around our neighborhood and neighborhoods across the street from us to see all the Halloween decorations. Because it used to be where we would just go around and look at Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
But now, like, people are really getting into Halloween, and they're going all out for Halloween. So
there are some really good, impressive decorations out there. I actually went and visited a couple of the ones that you told me to go and see, and I was blown away. Like, I was like, why is Rose texting me, telling me to go by this neighborhood when I was driving? So I'm like, okay, I will. And oh my gosh, I was so glad that you told me to do that because I didn't expect what I saw.
Yeah.
Y'all, I know you can't see what's in my head or what Rose and I are talking about, but it was just picture of a scary movie that's in your front yard that feels so real.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it is very, very cool.
But, and hey, you guys, we have some really cool people coming up in our shows. We're going to be kicking off season 3 here, in January, and we've already got such great people that we're interviewing. So please stay with the Punk Brats. Keep listening to us, follow us. Call us with your stories. Our phone number is 512-254-5989. I mean, Rose and I always want to hear from you guys. I mean, we get pretty interesting questions. Like, speaking of last month's question. Go ahead.
So the question from our last episode was, you know, you're raised as a military brat when... And our caller wanted us to finish that sentence.
You can finish it, Rose. How would you answer that?
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and then I thought, well, that is the whole premise of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, the most obvious answer. So you know you're raised a military brat when you pause to answer the question, where are you from? Which is one of the main questions I ask all our guests. So, like, it makes me ponder, do you mean where I was born? Because that's not necessarily where I'm from.
Right.
Or where I lived the longest, because that doesn't actually define me either. So that's how that's one of the obvious signs that, you know, you were raised as a military brat. But then I thought another one that just kind of popped in my head was that, you know, that you're a military brat when you have visited more countries than most adults have in their entire lifetime.
Absolutely.
As a kid, you know, like as a kid, I have visited more countries than, most adults.
And you know what's crazy, because as an American, I've seen more iconic landmarks overseas than I have in my own country.
Yeah, me like too.
I haven't seen Mount Rushmore. I haven't even been to the White House yet. Mm-hmm. There's just so much I have not seen stateside that I still need to go and do and see. So, share your stories with us. Again, our phone number, 512-254-5989. It's answered 24/7. All calls are recorded, and we might even use your, voice message on an episode. And follow us on social media. We're on Instagram as Punk Brats USA, and we're on Facebook as just the Punk Brats. Our website is punkbrats.com. And if you want to send us an email, you can reach out to Rose and Lisa at info@punkbrats.com. So, I'm really excited about talking to Mark. So I know we can keep bantering, but folks don't want to hear what we have to say. Are you ready to bring out Mark?
Yeah, let's bring him out.
Please welcome Mark Smith to the Punk Brats. Welcome, Mark.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm Lisa.
And I am Rose. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet both of you as well.
Rose, we finally got Mark Smith, who we've been calling forever. No, because every time I open up Instagram or anything, I saw the Eagles. And my father-in-law is a 2-star major general, retired from the Air Force. And everything in his house is Eagles.
Oh, nice.
And our mother is big about birds. She lost a brother long story short, she saw a bird at his funeral that didn't fly away. She picked it up, carried it out. And she's always said that was her brother's spirit. So birds are very special in our family. Mm-hmm. Sure. And so your page, of course, stood out because you do phenomenal work.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
But eagles are one of my favorite, and not just because they're the American bird, but no, they're one of the most beautiful creatures ever created. And so welcome to Punk Brats.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
So why don't you please introduce yourself, starting from where you were born, and take us through all your moves, up to like high school graduation.
Oh, wow. I don't know. We have time.
Typical military brat.
I would say it was a little different. I was born in Winter Park, Florida. My name is Mark Smith. I'm a wildlife photographer, videographer, artist. I do all kinds of art, but the one that stuck is photography and videography. Born in Winter Park, Florida. My dad was in the Navy, and our moving at that time, he was no longer in the Navy. So our moving was more about him chasing work. So to get us where we needed to be so that he could chase his job. That sounds weird to say, but at the time he worked, he did communications in the Navy. So when he got out of the Navy, he immediately went to Southern Bell, which I don't think exists anymore, which then eventually became AT&T. So he worked for AT&T for most of his life. And in order to stay higher on the list of work, we bounced around a little bit, not a lot, but we ended up in Louisiana when I was very young. And same town, and it's escaping me right now, same town as the Duck Dynasty dudes. And then back into Florida for pretty much the remainder up until high school.
Wow. Okay. So you still went and traveled a few states, lived in a few states, and got to experience some different cultures.
Yeah, for sure. I did most of my traveling later in life with my with my family, my late wife and my two kids. So
okay.
So we usually ask our guests, you know, the ones that kind of go the more typical PCSing with their families throughout, you know, either the United States or the world, how you feel when people ask you where you're from, what do you say when people ask you where you're from, and if that gives you, like, for some people, it gives them anxiety. Like for Lisa, no. And for me, it does.
I can understand that
question.
For me, it doesn't give me any kind of anxiety at all. I don't know any different. So to me, that was all, you know, how things are and were and should be. So it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, what's the answer when people say, where are you from? What do you say?
I say Florida. I'm a rare Floridian in Florida, and jokingly we'll call myself the Florida man because the Florida man makes all these crazy headlines. So
I love those Florida man headlines. Those are awesome.
Yeah. Very, very interesting things Florida man does.
Wow. I've only been to Florida once. No, twice. Really? Twice. I've been twice. I went to Disney World.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really count because we went from the airport to Disney World and then back from Disney World to the airport. I didn't really experience it too much. And then, I went out there for a business trip once and got to see the beach one time and back to Orlando again. So I'd like to go back and see Florida, visit.
Florida's definitely on my bucket list for sure.
I love it. Yeah, I'm biased. And I've been, I think, to every state now, and Florida is my first choice still to this day. Washington, like the Pacific Northwest, would be my second currently. I love that area too. But Florida is great. It's very dynamic ecosystem and it's very unique for wildlife, you know, and for me, that's hugely beneficial, of course, for what I do. But I spent all of my time growing up here. So I know all of these animals because I spent all my time outside with them as a kid. You know, my dad took my brother and I out all the time camping and sailing. Yeah. And my dad got into sailing later in life. And so he introduced me to all that stuff. And I don't know, it's for me, it's that definite home. Like, you know, when I want to go home, it would definitely be Florida. So
that's why I was a Navy guy, right? Because he likes the water.
Oh, he loves it. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're water people. We love animals as well. I have a family of raccoons that I've raised here in the last few months. They were born in my backyard and somebody needs to eat them.
Yeah.
Anyway, you just do amazing work. So from there, we're high school, everything's Florida, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then how did you, I don't know, what did you do after high school?
So after high school, the first thing was the whole music thing. You know, I that was in the 80s, you know, and that's when like hard rock was emerging, like the silly hair bands you would say now. but that all of that stuff was very, very influential for me. Yeah. I loved like I said earlier, I loved all kinds of art. I loved photography at the time too, but I was a tiny little guy. I didn't actually have my growth spurt until after school. So I was constantly picked on. So to carry a camera around would have made things even worse, but to carry a guitar around gave me kind of a better shield and it felt like a cooler thing to do. So I would have definitely jumped right into music and really played a lot of guitar, and then formed a band with my brother and some friends and did the whole music thing for quite a while, which was absolutely amazing. It was an incredible experience.
Well, who were some of the bands you were influenced by in the 80s?
Oh, okay. So I would say my very first biggest favorite band as a young man was AC/DC.
Yes. Good answer.
The original AC/DC with Bon Scott singing was always my favorite. Not that there's anything wrong with the second singer. I liked a lot of that music too, but something about Bon Scott's lyrics always just kind of, I guess, tickled me. He had a good way with words.
I've got the biggest balls of them all.
Exactly. Yes. He's a comedian. Yeah.
I mean, I don't sound anything like him, but yeah.
Good enough. I understood exactly what you're talking about. And then I went right into, I would say, like, the 80s bands. Like, I think I was a big fan of, like, Rat and early Motley Crue. Being a guitar player, I think my favorite at the time was Dawkins, but only for the guitar. I was a huge fan of their guitar player, George Lynch.
Yeah.
And Queensryche was huge on my list always because
they're huge for me too.
Yeah, they're always like really, in my opinion, they were way, way ahead of everything. And it was more of a thinking type of music. There's a lot of thought involved in those bands. And I specifically remember in high school too, though, like you guys probably remember this, but maybe I'm jumping generations. I don't know. But, you know, we passed around cassette tapes back then. And that's how you learned about bands. And I had a friend who I'm still friends with, who had like an older brother who lived in LA at the time. And he had sent them this cassette tape of Guns N' Roses. And this is how I first heard the band Guns N' Roses. He's like, "You got to hear this tape. These guys are crazy." And, you know, he handed me this cassette tape and I took it home. And it was the first song I ever heard him drop the F-bomb. And I remember on my little Walkman having to rewind it going, "Did he just say what I thought he said? What is happening here?" You know, I'm like 13, 14.
Yeah.
And that was hugely influential to me. I was like, okay, these guys are different. They like their attitude. Yeah. They don't care about anything. And it's like, this is pretty cool. And then it just kind of evolved from there. So,
I mean, I know I'm a little bit, I mean, I know we're close in age, but I think I'm 2 or 3 years older than you are. But
okay.
In the mid, I graduated in high school, 89. Mm-hmm. So they had just come out with that whole PMRC, the labeling. And so it sucked because I had to get my dad, we already shared this in another episode, but I had asked my dad to go, I think it was an Anthrax album or something. And my dad's like, "I'm not buying that for you." You know, and I'm like, who's going to buy it for me? And it sucked because I went from buying, you know, but I just went off base and went to a German record store and would buy them there instead.
Sure.
But still, you know, I mean, it just really sucked to have that rating on albums.
Yeah, you know, and that whole thing backfired massively on them. It became, if you didn't have that rating on your album, it didn't sell well. So, I mean, people were smart enough to go, "Ooh, this is forbidden. We should have this," you know. So I was the same way. Like, I specifically remember like shopping for music based off of cover art. You know, back then you're in a store looking at things and browsing through them. And that Parental Advisory label was a huge influence on, "Ooh, this one might be kind of edgy."
Exactly. Yeah, so. I was going to say, I'd like to thank the PMRC for turning me on to some awesome music.
That's right. Exactly.
I might not have discovered them without that little sticker.
Yeah. 100%.
And, you know, rewinding about Queensryche, I have to give kudos to my sister. My sister introduced me to Queensryche. I have to give her props. She bought the Fates Warning album, Queen of the Reich album. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can hear it through my room, but I'm hearing Duran Duran on my album." I'm like, "What do I like?" You know, I was torn because we were living in Japan. And living in Japan and Tokyo, the music back then, it was Duran Duran versus Dio.
And Duran was cool too, though.
I mean, very. And then you hear Live Wire by, you know, Motley Crue or Shout at the Devil. And then I'm like, "What do I want to be?"
You're right. There's so many choices now.
And then I would go total new wave and hear like Flock of Seagulls, right? Or Big Country or something. And then I'm like, "Oh my gosh, now I'm ska." If anybody even knows what that is out there. So I literally went through the many phases. If you look at my hairstyles, please don't find those pictures anywhere. Burn them. But Rose
which is
and I
really
found,
cool about our era of music, though,
absolutely.
Because
the 80s.
During that time, there was all these different genres of music, and you can kind of like dip in and out of the different genres, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like you said, Lisa, through hairstyles. I mean, I had like my goth period, and then I had the neon period. It's like from one extreme to the other. It's like, how do you even do that?
Right.
Combat boots.
Yeah. And then it kind of out came the Doc Martens, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Dad, do you want that military jacket? Rose, remember? Dad, give me your military jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So you were a guitar player, but obviously you did not, I'm not saying you didn't make it as a guitarist, but you have a camera in your hand now. So how did you transform from musician to?
I think a lot of those are coinciding. There's a lot of photographers that are also musicians and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There's a weird mathematical connection between those. And I despise math, but my favorite arts are highly mathematical, which is interesting. But it was just a slow process. I was always taking photos all of the time. And at one point, I'm trying to think when this was, maybe 15, 16 years ago, and we're going to jump quite a bit here. I was married, had my two children, and my wife came to me and said, "Let's sell everything we own and get an RV and just go." And I told her she was crazy, but okay, It sounded like a good thing to do. And at the time, this was part of the catalyst for it. My brother, who was a singer in the band I was in, had been diagnosed with lung cancer and had been given a very short amount of time to live. So this kind of fueled us to want to go and live a little bit, you know. So we did that. We did that exact thing. And on this trip, it was so enlightening in so many ways. And I mean, I highly recommend travel to everybody. I think it's one of the best things you can do to expand your awareness of the planet and people and culture and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But along that trip, I started to re-fall in love with photography because I was seeing all of these things, experiencing things I hadn't experienced, people, cultures, foods, places, animals that I was not familiar with. And I found the best way to document it was to take photos and then tell stories about those. So that's where that all started again. And that trip lasted 9 months. We ended in Colorado, fell in love with Colorado, stayed there for 3 years, and then came back to Florida. And so I had all this all this new photography information in my brain that I could then apply to all of these animals that I was so familiar with that I'd spent almost my entire life with in Florida. And I immediately gravitated to photographing birds and the ospreys. And I would come home from maybe photographing in the morning. And I skipped a bit here. Let me back up a little bit. There's a crucial part to all of this that made this possible. At the time, I was ghostwriting for some places and people. I've always been a writer, journal, poems, songs, all that stuff. And I was actually making money ghostwriting for other people. And I decided this was when Amazon self-publishing thing was kind of new. And mm-hmm. I started trying that. I started, you know, trying all these different books. And I actually got a book or two that became like hugely successful beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. And those gave me the freedom to do this traveling that I did and not really have to worry about a 9-to-5 and work on my photography. And also gave me the courage that my voice that I had that I used to write, people connected with greatly. So when we got back to Florida, I would show my son, I would sit him down and say, man, you got to see this stuff. At the time he was probably 17. And I would say, you got to see these crazy things, these birds. And I would kind of tell him the story as this all happened. And he said, Dad, you got to put this on YouTube. You really have to do this. And I was like, nobody's really going to care. It's just me and my camera out at like a swamp. And he goes, I'm telling you right now, this is amazing.
Wow.
He's been such a, like, I jokingly call him the Oracle. He knows, like, for his age, he is so wise and he's so well grounded with all this stuff. But anyways, I did that to please him. And the first video I did had moderate success. And then I just started kind of really trying and honing a lot of skills to make it work. And it kind of literally just took off. And it's cheesy to say, like, it sounds cheesy for me to say, but the ability to do what I did on YouTube literally changed my life. It literally, like, within a year, drastically different. And suddenly I had people asking me to teach them, how did you do this? How did you get this photo? How did you know this bird was going to do that or that? Can you please take me? And, you know, I never intended on being any type of teacher, but I found that I really, really enjoyed it immensely, taking these people out into the world, sharing like little slices of my life with them, and then teaching them how to use their camera and seeing them successful. So
I watched every single one of your videos on your website from your YouTube tutorials. I'm not even a photographer. My husband and I, we watched them together because that fascinated. Yeah. Chris and I, we were like, wow. Cause we wanted to know what kind of camera you use, the angles and all that, because some of the things that you catch are so detailed.
Well, you know, Lisa was sharing your videos with me before we even knew that we were going to be interviewing you.
Then
we found out later, she's like, oh my gosh, Mark is a military brat. And I was like, so I was like, let's try and get him on the show. So
I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, just so fascinating. I
want to go back and talk about your brother.
Yeah.
Posted recently, you put a tattoo on your arm of your brother, a rock star, like pointing his finger up, like the major rock star guitar move, you know? And he was actually pointing to something on your arm that led to you being diagnosed with a cancerous melanoma. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
And you told everybody go out there and get checked. Well, my background, just to let you know, is hospice. Mm-hmm. I worked many years in hospice. And you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm the bubbly sister, because I always tell my, there's three of us, life is short, you know? You got to go out there and just do what you're going to do, because we get only one shot at life.
But that's right.
Your story is amazing, because the fact that your brother was pointing exactly to the spot.
Yeah, well, so he...
Amazing.
Yeah, he died of cancer, lung cancer. He was a brilliant person, and he never really was afraid of anything and never said no to anything. So he was a heavy partier, which probably contributed to his early ending, but he was happy with what he had done. So I got that tattoo as a memorial for him and for me. And I noticed, the pointing finger of the tattoo was pointing to kind of a pink spot on my shoulder. And I thought, oh, I better go get that checked out. That didn't turn out to be the bad stuff. That was the basal cell, which they kind of just shrug off at this point. It's a skin cancer, but it's not life-threatening. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, I went ahead and had them look at everything, and they found a spot on my leg that was suspicious. That turned out to be the melanoma. And then they, you know, took a big chunk of my leg as a result. But that's how they do that, to my understanding at this point. And the good news is they were able to get every single bit of it. And there's there's no idea that it will come back. You know, they have removed it from my leg. So,
It's the spirit thing I believe in. You see, I
mean, it's amazing. And I've said this my whole life. He always had my back, regardless of anything. It didn't matter. Like if I mouthed off to somebody and the guy was, you know, 7 foot tall and like a linebacker, he would have stood up to this guy. It didn't matter. And to think that after he's died, he still kind of got my back is really mind blowing to me. So
now, how many years apart were y'all?
Age-wise?
Three. My sister Rose and I are two, and our younger sister is 7 and 9 from us. But there's three of us, and we're all very close.
Yeah, him and I were very, very close our whole lives. We just spent a lot of time together, and then the whole band thing that we did together. He was the singer; I was one of the guitar players. So, we.
I hope
we
you have some
close.
Of the fun recordings.
I have all of it, and I have put it all on Spotify for my own personal
enjoyment. I follow you there. I will listen to it. I will listen to it.
It's all there. So.
That's Rosie awesome. Has tattoos like you like. My sister and my brother-in-law are all about tattoos.
Yes. I love, like I said, I love art. I'm a big fan. So,
we did have, when I did tell one of our friends that we were going to be interviewing you, and she said that we had to ask you, and you probably get asked this all the time, what type of equipment you use?
Sure. That's a tough question. My favorite gear that I use is currently a Sony brand. I love the Sony cameras and the Sony lenses. They're fantastic. And Sony has been very nice to me. They treat me like extended family. And I get to talk to some of the engineers and stuff in Japan and help shape stuff that they probably wouldn't have access to because of what I do. So I think it's fantastic. I also love Nikon. I started with Nikon and transitioned to Sony at one point. And I have Canon gear too. And the only reason I have all three is because of my teaching. I kind of need to understand what's going on when people come to me and they're having issues. So I kind of have to know all of them. But Sony is my go-to, like without a question. I grab my Sony, which is my Sony camera body is an A1. And then depending on what I'm doing, the lens would vary.
Man, I wish I did things different in the 80s, Rose. I should have taken that disposable camera, learned how to use it.
Yeah, they're highly advanced computers today. But they're fantastic. I love them.
We were really lucky because our dad was computer savvy. And we always had an Atari, a Commodore 64 or something, you know. He's still, at his age, still computer savvy. I mean, he Instagrams and Facebooks more than we do.
That's great. Fantastic.
He really does.
He does. He's a lot more active on social media than we are.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about your artwork. You have, like my sister's has been, he is an artist as well. He's a storyboard artist out of Hollywood and does stuff. But sometimes his work gets stolen, and he has found his work on Amazon on bed sheets. Somebody was selling bed sheets with his art
and
on it.
Puzzles and
yes. How do you stuff. Deal with that? How do you deal with copyright infringement like these? Because I saw that I know that's hard for people like artists.
It is. So I am in the mindset that is the moment you release something to the internet, you have released your copyright on it. Just expect it to be stolen and you won't be so upset when it does happen. There are attorneys and stuff that you can get involved with, but it usually ends up being not beneficial to you. A lot of the stuff that gets stolen it's out of the country. So our copyright laws don't even apply to it. And these people who do steal it don't really care. And they will just continue to steal and do all that stuff. So it's a tough one. It really is. Yeah. It depends. Like, you know, I had an instance with a photographer who stole some of my stuff that was well known. And I had a fan tell me, and I approached the person and told them, "Hey, you know, you don't have permission to do this. I don't know why you think you do." And they wrote back and said, "Oh, it was a clerical error on my assistant." And I have to take it as what they said. I can't challenge that because they were able to remove it all. Which is another interesting thing to think about. There's a different side to social media popularity that's new to me. And this is a good example of that because I have such a large following, say on Instagram. If I would have outed this person, it would have backfired on me and they could have attacked me legally because of the reach I had could have been considered slandered when they told me that this was a mistake. So you have to be very, very, very careful. I do on what I say and how I say things in certain situations on social media because of that.
See, when Craig, Rose, Craig figured out the one and then he found another one and another one,
like,
right?
Like you, he was alerted to the puzzle on Amazon by a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we got a lawyer, same thing she told us, like, and then she did a research and it had originated from China. And then she said that as soon as we could, she could try and help us shut it down, but they have like hundreds of other websites that will just pop up, and
that's right.
As soon as you close one, the next one pops up, and they So it was just a lost cause. So we're just like, well, you know what? At least people are sharing his art.
Yeah,
you know, bullshit. They like you it know, enough to like buy it. Yeah, I mean, I was like, we'll just like consider it like an advertising budget. You know,
so angry.
They're sharing his art. So, but yeah.
You know the. The old saying, what is it? Thievery is the sincerest form of flattery. Yeah. Whoever wrote that, they didn't have their thing stolen from them.
Right.
Because it is painful to see stuff that you work on so hard stolen and monetized and people profiting off of it. But again,
exactly.
I think you have to just let it go and go forward with whatever it is that you're trying to do and just let that fall by the wayside. That might not be the best advice.
No, I mean, but it's reality. It's true. Yeah. I mean, it took us a while, like before I stopped being angry about it because, you know, I know how hard like my husband worked on his art and for someone else to be selling puzzles and bedspreads.
Yeah. You know,
it was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, it's interesting. The latest trend that I'm seeing that's even stranger, and I have to do something about this here soon, is there are all these imposter accounts like on Instagram that have stolen all my content and they've made a derivative of my name. Mm-hmm. And they've even gone so far as to train an AI on my voice and they will have this AI call people and act like me. And it basically, they target women and they love bomb them with my voice and get them to send them money thinking it's me. And these people are doing it. And it blows my mind. Somebody sent me the whole dialect and the phone call they had with the fake me. And I'm like, this is out of hand. I don't know. This is craziness. So
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I didn't know either until they showed me. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a whole different level beyond my imagination. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to go ahead, finish.
Just like as to be responsible, I'll probably have to make like a PSA that, you know, this is my only account, all others are fake and they're phishing you and all that stuff. Don't listen to them.
Yeah. I mean, I just know that yours is the account because it's Mark period Smith photography, right?
Yeah. Mark.Smith.photography. Yeah. Yeah.
So moving on from, oh God, I could talk to y'all. I wish we had more time, right, Rose? Travel. You get to travel the world. I mean, yes. I love your stuff. You've seen, oh my gosh, everything from Africa to Florida, animals, everything. That's just, do you ever just I don't know, get tired of traveling?
I have not yet.
Get old? Okay.
No. It's like a feast to all of the senses. So,
and can you take your family? Can you take your sons?
Yeah. Well, I have a son and a daughter.
Son and daughter. Okay.
Yeah. And I've taken them both on many adventures with me, but my son will actually come and work with me a lot when we do some of the bigger, photography workshops. He will kind of shadow me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has a good time. Dad.
So is he following in your footsteps?
I would say no. He wants to do his own thing, which I understand. Uh-huh. And he's trying on his own to do his own thing. So. Okay. Yeah, it's hard to be in the shadow of dad when dad has these successful social media accounts. And I understand that.
But you're up there with the cool dad. You're a cool dad. So, was that Rose from Slayer, Tom Araya, when they were talking to his daughter and they're like, "Your dad's Tom Araya from Slayer." She's like,
she kind of does that side eye. Her eyes. Yeah. It's like, girl, do you know how cool your dad is?
That's what my daughter does. Like, she had somebody that she knew that knew me and said, "Oh my God, that's your dad? He's famous." And she's like, "Get out of here. He's not." He rolls his eyes. Same thing, side eye.
That's so cute.
Oh my gosh. So are you guys ready for the lightning round?
Oh, it sounds exciting.
Okay.
So we're going to do something a little different this month. I know our listeners are used to the lightning round, but just to preface this, I was having lunch with some of my high school students last week, and one of them started a "Would you rather?" And so they were going around the room trying to outgross us or just outdo each other, as you can imagine. So then I started thinking, oh my gosh, this would be really cool to do with our next guest. So I told them, I was like, "Hey, you guys want to help me come up with some would you rather questions for our guests?" And as you know, high school students in all their raunchiness and weirdness came up with some of questions. And I went through them and I was like, I'm going to have to modify some of this and also just pick the tamest ones. But I thought it was pretty cool. So we're going to do it. Would you rather? And I'm sure you know how to play the game. It's just, would you rather? Yes. So are you ready?
I am ready. Fun.
Okay.
Yes.
So would you rather have telekinesis, the ability to move things with your mind, or telepathy, the ability to read minds?
Oh, I would rather have telekinesis to be able to, I don't want to know what people are thinking.
Okay. Okay. Would you rather team up with Wonder Woman or Batman?
Oh gosh, that's going to be sexist. I don't
understand. No, it's not. No.
Well, I will say, growing up,
different superpowers.
Yeah, Linda Hamilton was beautiful. I would pick Wonder Woman. Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef?
Oh, a personal chef.
Okay, next one. Would you rather always have BO and not know it, or always smell BO on everyone else?
Oh no. I would go with the first one. I'd rather have it and not know it than have to smell it on everyone else.
Right, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, that's a good question. Whoever wrote that one, that's a good one.
Oh, I can't wait to tell them.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, would you, let's see here, would you rather never eat watermelon ever again, or be forced to eat watermelon with every meal?
Never eat watermelon again, because I don't like it anyways.
So. Oh, and either. Easy. I don't either. Okay. Yeah. Would you rather get a paper cut every time you turn a page,
or
bite your tongue every time you eat?
Oh, paper cut.
Okay, that's a hard one.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn pages anymore.
This one's weird. Would you rather have an extra finger or an extra toe?
Easy, extra finger. Guitar.
Oh, there you go.
One more note in that. Yeah.
Like a 5-string bass if you're a bass player. Oh my gosh.
There you go.
Okay, would you rather wear every shirt inside out forever, or every pair of pants inside out forever?
Oh, every shirt, because some shirts inside out are actually cool.
Yeah, those are actually pretty cool.
Flannels.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who did this one. Would you rather be in a zombie apocalypse or a robot apocalypse?
Ooh, that's actually a good one. I think zombie. Yeah, zombie. The robots, I think, would be too hard.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Outrun a zombie.
Final one. Would you rather be always stuck in traffic and find a perfect parking spot, or never hit traffic but always take forever to park?
Always take forever to park. I do that anyways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Here we go. Well, we made it. So. We made it through our first round of Would You Rather.
Yeah.
That was actually quite fun.
So I have to correct you one thing on Mark. So you said Wonder Woman, Linda Hamilton. That's Terminator. Yes. You meant Linda, what was her name? What's the Wonder Woman?
Oh, yeah. It was Linda something. But it was Linda.
I'm a big Terminator fan. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. That was a big mistake. Let me see.
What's her name? Don't tell me, though. Linda Carter.
There you go. Linda Carter.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. So, yes. So that makes me ask you, Mark, who's the hottest Charlie's Angel?
Oh, are we talking the originals?
Original. Farrah, Sabrina, and Kelly. What was Farrah's name? It was Kelly, Jill. Sabrina. Oh, Jill.
She was Jill.
Well, Kelly was always.
I'd probably say Farrah Fawcett.
That's nice. I think she's the most beautiful too. But my husband thinks that is her name Kelly?
It's Farrah by a long shot. Farrah.
Yeah.
Farrah was the right answer.
I think so.
Yeah. Farrah was the right answer. Oh my gosh,
that was so much fun. Wow. So you see, being a military brat, so the whole thing about this interview, like, even though you didn't travel around and all that, your father became who he was through the military, which made him the father that he is, which made you who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So, but when you said that, do you not see yourself as a military brat?
To be honest, correct.
Did we change that? Are you now officially a punk brat?
Yes, definitely.
Nice. So Mark Smith is officially a punk brat. What we would appreciate is you telling all your military friends and military brats about us, because we are trying to, again, break into this neglected community. My husband is an Air Force brat, and he came up with the saying, "We didn't serve, we got served."
Oh,
yeah. It's true.
Nice.
So you got anything last thing to ask Mark Rose before we let him go?
No, just Mark, anything you'd like to plug or give us your website or?
No, I mean, you can just Google me, Mark Smith Photography. That'll show you everything you need to know about me if you want to know.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. And please follow him on Instagram, on Facebook. Are you on TikTok?
I am, but I don't post there that much because of the thievery we talked about earlier.
That's right. So do you do all your own social media?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You keep up with all your own stuff yourself.
Yeah, it's a task, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the connection to the people. So
I literally cried to my sister today that that it's hard for me to keep up with social media with my own my own stuff and then my own personal, and it's stressful. So you are amazing to be able to keep up with all the platforms.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you, Mark Smith Photography, for joining the Punk Brats today. Rose, how do we say goodbye?
Well, we don't. Right. So as military brats, we never say goodbye. We say see you later, because we always cross paths somewhere down the road. So thank you very much for joining us.
So we always say see you later.
Yeah. See you later. Thank you for having me, and see you later.
Oh, wow, Lisa. That was amazing. Who knew that we had so much in common with Mark? I mean, we were just mesmerized by his videos, but then we ended up having so much in common. I mean, other than being military brats, like all the other stuff.
He's a metalhead. He's a musician. Mm-hmm. He has tattoos. Mm-hmm. he's just a cool guy. And he was really close to his brother, obviously. And I mean, like, you and I and Patty are all close. And, it just, and his cancer scare, oh my gosh, that his brother saved his life to me, that gives me goosebumps, because I truly believe in the, like, a spirit life of some sort. You know what I mean? Like,
there are signs that are,
there was, yeah, like he was saying, like his brother was literally pointing to this mark on his arm because the tattoo is of his brother. And so anyway, thank you, Mark, for sharing such an intimate, this personal story of your life. And I think it's cool that his son is the reason he is who he is. I mean, wait, that didn't come out right. You know what I mean?
His son encouraged him to follow through with his videos and post them on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
But for him to listen to his son when he's like, "Dad, you need to be sharing this stuff." You know, if he would not have listened to him, what would Mark be doing now? You know, I mean,
Well, more importantly, we would all have been deprived of seeing these amazing videos of nature in action.
I mean, I went and checked out his page the other day, and I literally, he's like in Africa, and there's Pumbaa, an actual real Pumbaa staring at him. And I'm just like, I want to see a real life Pumbaa, one of those hogs with the those big tusks. But he just takes amazing pictures of wildlife, and I'm just envious of his job. So thank you, Mark.
Yes, thank you, Mark. We really appreciate it.
All right. Well, don't forget to listen. Don't hang up. Don't stop listening to us immediately, because we always have a caller at the end of our show. And we really encourage you guys, give us a call, brats. If you're out there, we know you're there. Overseas, active brats, non-active, old, young. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
And you don't even have to be a brat. Like I said, that one of my favorite questions was not from a brat. And that was the one about picking your sports teams. And that was just a person who listens to our show who was curious.
Yes. So okay. Well, it's time. What a great interview.
Yes.
Again, you guys, continue to listen, and we have some great guests coming up. So, all right, Rose, take us out.
Okay, Lisa, see you later.
See you later.
Hi, Punk Brats. This is Charlie from Tennessee. I just had a question. Looking back, how do you think your experiences as a military brat have shaped your current taste and cooking habits? Thank you.